Hi guys, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Carefree and Black Diaries. Here on this podcast, we discuss various topics like pop culture, news, politics, sports, I mean, girl, everything. We talk about everything here, and I am the host, and my name is Shakira. If it's your first time hearing my voice, or if you just happen to stumble across this podcast, hi, welcome. Thank you for being a part of our family, a new member of our family. Go ahead and subscribe. And when you subscribe on whatever platform you're using to listen to this podcast, you'll be notified every single time we have a brand new episode, which happens to be every Tuesday at 9 a.m. If you're not new to this, if you are true to this, and you're already a part of our Carefree family, if this isn't your first time listening to an episode, welcome back. Thank you for coming back again. Today's episode, I told you all last week that I'm kind of easing back into podcasting again. So for the next few episodes, I am going to have a few guests on with me. Today is that first episode that I was telling you all about last week. So today I have Jasmine. Jasmine has been on two or three other episodes of mine, some homegirl talks with Jasmine, if you want to listen to some older ones after this episode is over. However, I did want to tell you all first that we are skipping the Carefree updates. So usually we have Carefree updates before we go into our topic to just cover some things that happened throughout the week. We're going to skip that today because this is a long episode. I think this is my longest episode yet, because usually if I think it's too long, I will split it in half and have a part one and a part two, but the conversation was just too fluid for me to split it, and I didn't want to have you all waiting, you know, in between for the next part to come out. So it's just one long episode. If you need to pause it and come back and finish the rest of it later, I completely and totally understand. So I just wanted to let you all know that we aren't going to have any Carefree updates. I hope that you all enjoy this episode. Oh, too, before I forget, also, I'm very excited because I just started a YouTube channel where when we have guests, and if it's over Zoom or video or something like that, if I happen to sit down and record anything for the podcast, those videos are going to be on the YouTube channel. To find and subscribe to that channel, you can look in the description of this podcast episode and you will see the link to the video that goes along with this interview. So you can watch me and Jazz chit chat in this homegirl talk because it was over Zoom, or you can continue listening on your different podcasting platforms. It's up to you. So you have the visual and you have the audio. So whichever way you choose to listen or watch is up to you. But again, the link to the YouTube channel and the video corresponding to this homegirl talk is in the description of this podcasting episode. So that's out of the way. I hope that you all enjoyed this episode, and I won't be coming back in at the end. Just, you know, when it's over, it's over. So thank y'all for tuning in again. And right after the break from our sponsors, I just went blank. Right after the break from our two sponsors, then you will come back and we'll have the topic, the homegirl talk with Jasmine.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Carefree and Black Diaries. I have a guest, as you can see here, Jasmine. So Jasmine is one of my best friends. We met in college. I'm gonna let her introduce herself in a little bit, but she was in, how many episodes have you been in, like two or three?
Two. We did the two. Okay, so like two homegirl chats. So y'all really enjoy when Jazz is on here. So I was like, you know, I told y'all last week we were gonna ease back into everything with a guest. So I was like, why not Jazz? So Jazz, you wanna introduce yourself for the new people here?
Hi, I'm Jasmine.
What else? Where did you go to school?
Oh, I went to school at FAMU. I'm currently at school at Jacksonville University. I'm 25. My favorite singer is Kiara Shears.
Okay, 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 that's enough.
I'm not going into detail. Okay.
That's good. So just so y'all had a refresher on who Jazz was. Now, this week, I was talking to Jazz and I was like, you know, there is a topic that I have been wanting to cover, but I felt like I couldn't cover it by myself. I needed somebody to talk to, and Jazz was perfect because today we are talking about healing your inner child. So what inspired this podcast episode was actually an episode of Insecure. If y'all have not seen this episode, and if you are one of those people that's like, I don't like spoilers, you might want to just click out right
Get
now.
Get out.
Click out right now because you're going to have some spoilers. And I don't remember what specific episode it was, but it was the latest season. Issa goes home to her mother and her mother looks at her and she's like, you know, what's wrong with you? Because moms can always tell for some reason. So she's like, what's wrong with you? And then eventually they sit down and Issa is like, I can't remember verbatim, but it was something to the point of her mom said something to her when she was a child. And whatever she said to her when she was a child stuck with her even in adulthood. So she had to unlearn what she had been taught or what in her mind her mom meant when she said what she said. So I was thinking about some things from my childhood. And I'm hoping Jazz was thinking about some things from her childhood that we can reference in regards to healing your inner child. And one thing I thought about that really corresponded with that episode was when I was a child, I couldn't have been like any more than like second grade. And I don't remember where I was. We were on a trip somewhere and I complained about something. I said I didn't like something. And my mom was like, you complain so much. And when she said that, I was like, oh, okay. So in my head, for the rest of my life, I was like, I can't complain about things. So whether it was like relationships, whether it was like at work, my own personal projects, I felt like I didn't have the space to complain because it was like a signal of me not being grateful for whatever it was I had. So I had a conversation with her recently. And I was like, you remember that time when I was little and you said that I complained too much?
She was like, no.
She was like, no. She said, when did I say that? I said, I don't know. I was like a kid and we were somewhere. She was like, where were we? I was like, I don't even remember. She was like, I don't even remember saying that. She was like, well, what were you complaining about? I'm like, I don't even remember, but just that one instance. And that just goes to show like, what you say to children matters. Like, even if it's something you think is just like a one-off statement, it sticks with them forever. It has the potential to, at least. So oftentimes, once we get to a point in our adulthood, we have to go back to those different things that happened in our childhood that we've been told or taught by society or people around us. And we have to unlearn those things. So, Jazz, is there anything from your childhood, whether it be from your parents, a family member, a friend, or society, that you felt like you had to unlearn?
Absolutely. So my family, like my whole family, not just like my mom and dad, like they played a really big part in my upbringing. And I think like for when I was younger, my grandmother and my aunt used to like watch me all the time. And my aunt like has always been like, besides my mom, she's always been like a huge pivotal like part in my life. And when I was like, it's so much stuff. So when I was like,
it's okay because we're gonna get into
so
it.
Much bad. So when I was like 8, she used to always like tell me what ladies do. Like, ladies do this or ladies don't do that and ladies don't do this. And I remember always being like, this is a lot to remember, but okay. Like, ladies don't, like, we would be in the store and I would like scratch my armpit. She'd be like, ladies don't put their arms up like that. And I was like, and that just played a huge part on me, because like I grew up always thinking like almost I had to be perfect. Like, in order to be a lady, I had to do everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of surface. That didn't really hurt me that much. It wasn't really like, dang, this is hard. But my mom, I'm trying to think. So again, it's so much. She would kind of always tell me that, like, I had an attitude.
Okay.
Like, you have an attitude. What's wrong with you? You got an attitude. And I used to always be like, no, I don't. Like, yeah. I used to be so confused. I'd be like, I don't have an attitude. Like, I might be in my feelings about something. She's like, you need to fix that because that's ugly. And so growing up, I've always been like, to the world, I always try to present like a very happy face, because I don't want to seem like I'm being ugly or being nasty to people. Like, I don't want to seem like I have an attitude. Mm-hmm. And I think that she really thought that having an attitude was a bad thing. And it can be sometimes, but now that I've grown up and I'm more like in touch with my feelings, like, if I have an attitude, I have an attitude. Like,
yeah,
we just gonna have an attitude. I have to work that out, and I can't, you know, be negative towards other people. But I would say that I had a cousin who always told me I was a brat. So I really used to grow up thinking that I was a brat. Like, I was a hindrance to people. Like, I annoyed people. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of has, like, still plays a part of me, because I never, like, ask people for too much. You know, like, I always just do, like, I don't ask people for anything, period. But if yeah. I do, like, do you mind? And if I get, like, a kind of, and so I'd be like, don't worry about it. I don't want to be a bother. And I think that holds me back a lot.
Yeah, because you always have to ask for help for stuff.
Yeah, like, I'd rather inconvenience myself than inconvenience other people. Mm. And so that can be, and it's the same thing with her. Like, now that we're grown up, we're cool now. And I'm always like, why did you say that to me? She's like, because you were a brat. And I'd be like, girl, I was like eight. Like, everyone's a brat at eight. And she's like, well, you were, like, da, 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 but it's fine. But I don't think people know, like you said, the potency their words have. Like, it's strong, especially when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And you already have, like, people at school, and if you go to church, people at church, like, you have so many inputs, like, of information that people are trying to tell you about yourself, and you're kind of forming who you are as a person. So when their opinions are, like, in your head about that, like, you think that's the person you are. Yeah. And it's really not. That's just your opinion of me.
Yeah.
But it takes time. Like, we're 20, 25, 26 sitting here understanding that. Like, that, it shouldn't take, like,
this long, right? This long to recognize, like, those things.
I've been insecure for like 24 years. That's like, so yeah, I think I'll start off with that. Again, there's a lot. So.
That was good, because I think that a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of young Black girls get that attitude response from, like, parents or, like, family mm-hmm. members, or, like you said, people at church too. Like, it's like, as a young Black girl, you can't express your discontent with something. I remember going to church sometimes and, like, not liking something that somebody said or somebody did, like, if it was an older adult. And if you express that in any way, they will be like, oh my gosh, that child is so disrespectful. You need to do something about that. And it's like, I'm a child, but I'm a person too. And that was, out of line.
Yeah. That's literally all people though. Like, if you ever, even now, like, as if you go to your family or, like, someone older in church, if I say something that disagrees with, like, what you think, that's disrespectful. Yeah. It's not like, let's have a conversation. Like, let's see eye to eye on this. Like, no, you're being disrespectful. It's like, okay, Martha. Like, I feel like,
Martha.
Like, we got a lot going on, and I'm not gonna fight with you. But yeah, it's definitely, it's sick. It's crazy, because people will grow up thinking like that, and that used to be another thing. Like, I always thought I was a disrespectful person because
that's what you were told.
I got a mouth. Yeah, like, I got a mouth. Now sometimes I do be disrespectful. Lovely. But I always would be talking like, why? Well, what's the problem? Like, why is this like this? Why are you saying this? And people are like, oh my, she's so disrespectful.
Like, because I'm asking questions?
I'm not even yelling. Like, I'm talking.
Yeah.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
It is. It is. And Issa, the inspiration behind that episode, I was watching like an old interview and I cannot find the link to it for the life of me. But in the interview, she was saying that it was inspired by her real story, because in real life, she was having a conversation with her mom, and her mom, I think she said something to her mom to the point of like, remember when you told me that I will always be single? And her mom was like, when did I say that? And she was like, well, one day you were talking to dad. She was like a little kid. One day you were talking to dad and you said that Issa's too like strong-willed, like she'll never find anybody. And when she told her mom that, her mom was like, that's not what I meant. She was like, I meant that you have a strong personality. So when you find someone, they're going to have to be equally, you know, yoked with you. They're going to have a dominant personality just like you. And if not, you're going to run all over them. So sometimes it is our perception of things that people say when we're a child and how we take it. Yeah. And process that information. But a lot of times it's genuinely just what people say, and our understanding of it is exactly what they meant. So I want to talk through some ways that not just us, but other people can unlearn certain things from their childhood. Now, mind y'all, everybody's process is different because we all had different upbringing. So what Jazz may say, what I may say, may not apply to your situation. So you kind of have to work through what will apply to you. But for you, Jazz, what are some ways that you would say you will work towards unlearning a lot of those things from your childhood?
I think once I came to the conclusion that my parents weren't like perfect people, they were just people, and that they were susceptible to make mistakes and, you know, like not do everything right, especially because I was the first one. Mm-hmm. I think I kind of got it better because I'm older now. So I'm thinking, I think when I was younger, I thought like when I turn a certain age, like I'll be like, oh, I know what being a parent is like. Like I'll be ready for parenting. And now that I'm getting older, I'm like, what? Like if I'm pregnant right now, I'll be like,
like I don't know what to do with this thing.
What do I do with it? What is it? What is it? What is it? Crying. And so just like putting myself in my parents' shoes of like being like, this is our first child. It's a little girl. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to figure life out and figure out how to do this with her. I think that was, it's easier for me to just be like, not take things to heart and unlearn those things. And then talking to your parents. If you have parents that you're able to talk to, I think that's a huge blessing. Because yeah. Not a lot of parents, a lot of people's parents are willing to talk or mistake or say that they were wrong about stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Parents don't like to admit they were wrong. Like,
let's not talk about Black parents.
Now, granted, I'm not a child. I don't have a child. So, I mean, I don't know how hard it is to say you're wrong. But yeah. People have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, you aren't talking about me wrong. I'll be like, Ma, I think you was. I was what? You know what?
I'm going to leave it alone. Let me leave it alone.
Don't worry about it, dog. Yes, this guy is. Orange. I thought it was blue, but you're right, it's orange. But just talking to your parents and like having an understanding of like, I felt this way about this, and like you said, how Issa had the conversation with her mom. Sometimes our parents just be talking.
Yeah.
Like they just be saying stuff and they have no idea that they said it. I've heard my mom be like, you're never gonna get married if you are always as combative as you are. And that used to like get to me, but then when I talked to her about it, she's like, well, you're combative. She's like, I'm not saying you're literally never going to deal with someone, but I just want you to be softer. I was like, okay, I can understand that more.
Yeah.
And then I think we're gonna talk about this later, it's just like processing what we went through, mm-hmm. and then knowing what to do for our children. But I will say every generation gives to their children what they think is best.
Yeah.
I think our parents did what their parents didn't, thinking it was their best. And it was their best. And it was, I mean, I know, I feel like what my parents did was great. Like, I feel like I had a great upbringing. There were flaws and nicks and stuff like that, but nothing's ever going to be perfect. But just taking what we learned, what they learned, and then what we've learned, and then teaching it to our children. Yeah. And unfortunately, there's going to be something that we lack in, which is going to be terrible for me because I'm a perfectionist. But there's going to be something that we lack in that our children are going to have to pick up on and, you know, give to their children. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's just generation after generation and just how it goes. It's going to be hard. I'm going to think I'm the perfect parent. It's going to be really hard for me to admit that I'm not.
Well, there are no perfect parents.
Yeah, again, it's gonna be really hard for me to
do that. I think it's gonna be I think it's gonna be great though, because Jazz is just like a great person in general, so you're gonna be fine as a parent.
Thank you. Anyone's looking for a baby mother,
here's one right here.
Where's the baby girl at?
right here. get out. I was, I like what you just said about generational is generational, because hopefully you, again, think about certain things in your childhood where you're like, I'm definitely going to do this differently. I did not like this. So when I have kids, I'm going to do this instead of this. And like you said, a lot of times we just think about like, we think about it in terms of just our parents, but we don't think about like our parents were once children and their childhoods. Like I told Jazz a story. What was that, like 2 weeks ago? I think it was like 2 weeks ago about my great grandma. Was that 2 weeks
ago? Like a
week ago,
yeah.
A week ago? It was like a week ago. Like, y'all. I haven't told y'all, of course, because I'm waiting on something else. But, you know, when I found out that information, I had never thought about, like, how my grandma came up, like, you know, with her mother. And how that affected how she raised her children, and then in turn how my dad raised me. So we don't think about that a lot of times, because everyone was once a child and everyone had to have a childhood and grow up different ways. So definitely thinking about that in terms too, when you think about the different things in your childhood and how you want to unlearn certain behaviors or certain things that you felt you were like, or different ways you felt like your personality was affected in the process. Think about that, like your parents were once children, your grandparents were once children, your great grandparents were once children, and they all went through something differently. I don't know about y'all, but my parents were in elementary school during segregation. So that, first of all, segregation wasn't that long ago. And so who's to say, like,
so your parents were part of it too.
Okay.
If you white listening,
your parents were a part of the problem. And grandparents and great grandparents.
And grandparents. Yes. You're walking around here. Grandpa Joe? Yeah, that was the one holding the sign talking about go back to your family. But that's a different topic for a different day.
Yeah, we'll have another conversation about that. But it's just like they went through different things in their childhood too, which really impacted how they raised us in turn. But I was thinking some ways to unlearn certain behaviors. I agree with everything Jazz said, and I actually had those written down, you know, talking to your parent and bringing up certain things. Like, do you remember when you said this? And half the time they're going to be like, what? Right. No. When did I say that?
Yeah.
And even though it has stuck with me, I'm what, 26, and that happened maybe 17 years ago, but it was still something that informed who I grew up to be, and I'm just now learning to unlearn that it is okay for me to complain about different things and voice my opinions, and also recognizing that there's a difference between complaining and having an opinion on something, because I mix the two up. Where I felt like, okay, if I say I don't like this, even if it's something that's genuinely bad, I'm complaining. So let me not say anything. And I was actually talking to Abigail about this topic before everything happened in society. And she was like, you know, it also applies to when you're in school, because kids can be cruel. And certain things that she was told when she was in school, like she said, now mind y'all, Abigail is like 5'3". She has a very small foot. She said that when she was growing up, she wore tennis shoes a lot. And the kids at school would say, your feet look so long in those tennis shoes. Like, you need to stop wearing tennis shoes. And she stopped wearing tennis shoes. And I was like, girl.
Okay, so
I felt that.
You remember the episode of Proud Family? Yes. When La Cienega. That episode came on, it was the same thing, because my mom is so grimy. Like, she would really put me in, like, long, kind of, like, skinny jeans and tennis shoes. And I have a big foot, though. Like, I'm really skinny. I got little chicken legs. And then I wear, like, a size 10 shoe. And one day, this boy, like, the episode had aired months. Like, it was so far removed. I had got out the clear. I was like, no one's gonna call me this. It's over. This boy laid down at me one day. I remember I had caseless. My mom used to buy me caseless every year. Don't know why. I had on caseless and these tight jeans and his caseless shirt. And I actually thought it was kind of cute. I was like, okay, you go, girl. He looked down. He said, oh my God. He was like, you're built like La Cienega. Literally the whole, like, everyone heard it and everyone called me La Cienega. And to this day, there are certain people that I see and they be like, what's up, Lassie? And Shakira, do you know that I have never worn jeans and tennis shoes ever again? Have you ever seen me in jeans and tennis shoes?
I haven't.
I've never worn jeans and tennis shoes.
Wow. And that's something I never would have, like, clocked.
I never will. Never will.
Wow. But Jess, that's something that you have to unlearn.
No, he was right. I actually look like La Cienega.
I have to see it. I've seen you in jeans and, like, flats. And it doesn't
look bad. Because flats, like, show. Okay, so, like, I've learned how to maneuver. Like, okay. If you wear, like, flats that come to your foot, like, to the top of your foot doesn't look that big.
Okay, so you were telling me about the shoes and La Cienega.
Oh yeah, I've just learned how to maneuver with long feet and skinny legs, and so I get thick. So yeah, like, that's crazy. It's just crazy that you would say that, because I didn't even realize until, like, I'm talking right now.
Yeah,
like, that's why I don't do it.
Wow, kids are cruel though. I feel like kids in schools hate the worst things.
They do, but I mean, it's a part of it, you know. Like,
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but I just think kids being mean is just like a part of life. I don't know. Like, kids are annoying. I was annoying. I probably made fun of someone too. So I don't know.
You are terrible.
Just one person. I probably didn't. I was about to say who. Yeah, because then I'd be afraid, because I can't fight. So I know I was like, you want to fight? Ooh, you know what? I take it back, sis. You're cute. You're really cute.
Hey, I was trying to think of something that I may have been told back then that, like, impacted who I am now.
I can tell you something that, oh, go ahead. You were about to talk.
Oh, go ahead. I was thinking.
So, you know, well, I went to a predominantly white school. I always have. And so there was this black guy. He wasn't even cute, but it was this black guy. Okay. And he basically was like, I will never date black girls. And we were friends, mind you. Like, we were all, like, it was me. It was some, like, it was, okay, it was all white people. But it was me and him, and it was, like, all white people. And he was like, I'll never date black girls. And I was like, why? And he was like, they're too loud. They're too ghetto. Like, they just want to fight. He was like, he said, black girls aren't pretty. He was like, but you, Jasmine, you're pretty. But he was like, black girls aren't pretty. Like, and they're always ghetto. Like, he was just generalizing us, like, all of us. And because I had grown up in, like, an all-white neighborhood for a period, I went to an all-white church, there wasn't a lot of representation of black people on TV, that stuck in my head for the longest time, to the point where I was like, because I'm black, I'm not pretty. Just based off that. And it wasn't until, like, I was a sophomore at FAM that I was like, what the heck was I thinking?
Yeah.
But that play, and that was, like, junior high.
Yeah.
And I remember just, like, it was a lot of people who used to say stuff like that. And it was girls who used to be, I mean, like, oh, you're pretty for a black girl, Jasmine. Oh, you know, this about a black girl. And at the time, I thought those were compliments. Like, I felt good about those because it was like, well, at least I'm pretty for a black girl. You know, like,
yeah.
At least I'll get someone someday because I'm the pretty black girl. But then, like, when I, like, growing up, like, that messed with my self-esteem so much to the point where when I went to fam, I remember I called Simone at orientation. And I was like, Simone, I'm not pretty. And she was like, what? I was like, I think I'm basic. And she was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm not pretty. I'm like, I'm not like these girls. I'm not super pretty. And then we had went over to FSU side for some reason. I forgot. And I was like, I'm not pretty like them. Like, and I've always
FSU, by the way, y'all, is a predominantly white institution, just in case.
Yeah. Sorry, Florida State. But yeah, I just didn't. That one comment, his comment led to like more. Like I would hear it more often. But based off his comment, I really felt for the longest time that just because I was black, I was not pretty. And that I would never be pretty if I was black. Like mm-hmm. there was nothing tied with my black skin that was beautiful. And that's like terrible.
It is.
That's like the worst thing ever. And I'm so glad that my sisters the school that I went to now is a lot more diverse.
Okay.
And like, you can't tell my sisters nothing. Like, girl, look, who not pretty? Y'all not pretty. So I'm so glad they have that experience. But for me, it was like rough. Like high school was rough. It showed that like guys were attracted to black girls because none of the black girls like ever had boyfriends. It was always the white girls dating the white guys and the black guys and the Spanish guys and the Asian guys. Like it was never us. So I think your environment period has so much to do, but I think it would have helped a lot more. And I don't fault my parents or anyone in my family for not saying this because I don't think that they understood like what I was being told. Cause I'm not an expressive child. I was an expressive child. Like, oh, I'm, you know, I feel ugly. Like, I felt like that was really dramatic. But I remember, like, I've seen it on TV, and I think Chelsea told us this one time during the pageant.
Okay.
That, like, I believe it was her. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But she said, like, her mom was really good with affirmations. Like, she would
that
wake
was
up
Chelsea.
Her,
yeah.
Yeah, she would, like, wake up and tell her, like, you're beautiful. And then I've seen certain people, like, put it on their kids, like, door, like, windows or their mirrors. And I feel like, of course, my parents told me I was beautiful, but like, I look like you. If you're not beautiful, I think had it been instilled like from a young age, like, you know, you're beautiful, you're this, you're that, it wouldn't have stopped the hurt of it, but it would kind of like combat it a little bit. Like I wouldn't be so pressed by what they say. Like if I would have had a clear understanding of like who I was. But again, you're in that when you're like a teenager, like 13, who is Jasmine? I don't know. Like I don't know what I am. So you telling me that I'm not pretty because I'm black? I'm like, well, what?
Yeah.
Is this been forever? So and then also my kids going to all black. I gotta figure out how to put my kids in all black school. Like
listen, y'all, I told Jazz that's the move. Child. That is like, the move.
We moving back to Tally. So like,
put your kids at an all black school. And it's crazy because when I was younger, my mom's coworkers would always be like, she's not learning anything there. Mind you, they had never been there, didn't know the curriculum, just knew the fact that it was all black school. So they would tell my mom all the time, and I'm so thankful that my mom never like caved in, but they would tell her like, she's not learning anything there, she's never going to be able to compete with other students going to college. It's like nothing but negative things just because it was all black school, and it was crazy. But graduated valedictorian, had a ACT score that was in the top percentile, like went to college on a full ride scholarship. So we really have to get rid of those negative stigmas that we attach to all black institutions. Like it's crazy.
Period.
It's crazy. Period.
It's just, I think because you don't find a lot of DRSs like in other places of the world. And that's going to be my dilemma, wanting to put my child in the best, like, education, like where they'll get their best education, usually it's predominantly white.
Yeah. Because the funding.
They have the money. Like, yeah. I pray that I'm successful. And if I'm successful, then, like, I want my children, I want to set my children up like white people set their kids up.
All the time.
I want to set my children up to be successful as well. But it's like, how do I keep them black? You feel me? Like, I don't want them to, I had to wait till I got to fam. And granted, fam, there's like a pulse of like, the HBCU will undo to you in 1 year what the whole K-12 system did to you in 12, which is so true, because I'm not even invited to my class reunion at this point because I didn't cuss out so many people about all this stuff at my school. Like, it changed my whole outlook on life. But just trying to figure out, like, how do I get them to, like, love their blackness and, like, know their blackness and, like, their history and their heritage and how important they are? There should be no reason that I didn't really learn about black history until I was 18 years old.
But they don't teach it in the school system.
They used to teach about the same thing about slavery every year. Like,
and they tell you about MLK, Rosa Parks,
Harriet Tubman. Very little about Harriet Tubman.
Yeah. She came down south and she freed the slaves, period.
She freed the slaves with the Underground Railroad. Okay, moving on. That's it. Like, there's so much about black history, and I didn't learn that until I was in college.
Yeah.
I don't want that for my kids. So, like, that's always my thought process. Like, how do we keep them rooted in who they are, but also give them the best? Because, unfortunately, they don't want to give black people the best. So it's just, it's very confused. I think you told me to put them in black stuff, like
mm-hmm. black programs.
Black programs, and mm-hmm. like, they're going to be in a Girl Scout troop with all black people.
Yep.
And they're going, I don't want them to play sports. But
I mean, they can do other things. Like, I was in an African dance group when I was in elementary.
Were you?
Yeah.
That is so cute.
So you can find different programs.
I'm the gymnastics with white people. I think my parents. Wow. But that's a good idea. Yeah. And we're going to be living in Atlanta, so we'll be fine, right? Because we're raising our
home of the black people.
I've come to the conclusion that we're raising our families in Atlanta. We're mm-hmm. going to live in a really huge house for like $1,500 a month. And we're going to be surrounded by black people. We're going to live on the outskirts, though. We're not going to live on the inside. Yeah, we're gonna live on the outskirts,
and we're gonna have each other. So,
and yeah, and they're gonna be around each other all the time. Like, you see her? She's like, not love her. Anymore.
So don't let anybody at your school tell you that you're not pretty.
Okay, y'all, listen. What they say, they have to. If they go to the same school, maybe we can batch stuff a little like better.
Yeah, definitely.
What if our kids don't like each other?
Is that possible though? Like, if they've known each other since they came out the room,
you're gonna like each other.
You're gonna like each other.
Go hug her.
It's kind of like when you grow up with your family, like,
unless you have a forever. Boy and I have a girl, and I have a boy and you have a girl, and then they end up liking each other.
Like, I think they'll see each other as like siblings.
But what if, like, I feel like whoever you marry gonna be fine, and whoever I marry gonna be fine, so our kids are gonna be fine.
I still think they'll see each other as siblings.
If I had a fine guy friend that I was friends with since I was little, I'd probably try to date him.
Let me think. I'm trying to think.
Fine. If you had like a really good looking guy friend.
That I've known before I could remember. No, because you would have known.
You'll remember. Yeah, you remember when they were like.
Puberty. Pampers, like, no. Other people would think that they were fine, but you would be like, ew, no.
I guess. Okay. Well, just try not to have a boy. You want boys.
But you're saying that like you're only having one child.
Like, right. You have to match my children. So, right, y'all,
I want, at max,
like, if I was lucky, I would want 6 kids, but I will take 4. Like, minimum of 4. Shakira, you can have 4 kids.
Well, I have told Jazz that I want to adopt, so.
Okay, yeah, so have 2 and adopt 2.
Okay, I can do that. That's doable.
You just didn't want to give birth to 4?
No.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not.
That's fine then. I would carry one for you. I think
really,
I would be a surrogate.
Pinky promise, right?
Absolutely
now.
Absolutely, I pinky promise.
Okay.
I'll be a surrogate for like the second time.
Y'all remember that Jazz said this.
But like, you have to have health issues, Shakira. You can't just be like,
No, listen.
Working or something. You can't just be like, I just don't.
And now you want to add stipulations.
No, I'm just saying, like, you have to be like, Jazz, I'm working on the project. I just don't have time to carry a baby right now. But all right, Shakira. Or like, okay. Jazz is not helping for me to carry a baby. But you can't just be sitting at home talking about, I just don't feel like having one.
No. Can you have it for me?
No. You have to have at least one too, naturally. Okay, move on. At home.
Okay.
Well, Erica Badu as your doula. Go ahead.
Y'all, as y'all can see, these are the conversations that we have. Back to being in school and people saying different things to you, and you having to unlearn those things. I did want to talk about that more, about what the black guy at your school said when he was like, he's not attracted to black girls, because I feel like even with this movement that we have going on right now, a lot of black women are rediscovering their beauty and like appearance, because it's crazy. Perfect example. You know the girl who plays, oh my gosh, why did I just go blank? She plays like awkward characters, but I don't think she's from the United States. I think she's from overseas. She plays these awkward characters. Anyway, I can't
from, remember. From, what's that show? It's a, she's like on a show. She's like kind of odd looking, but she's beautiful. Like she dark skinned,
short like, hair.
Chewing Gum, that show Chewing Gum?
Isn't Chewing Gum a cartoon? No. Yes, her.
Yes, her. Okay, I know you're talking about.
A few months ago on Twitter, like, you know, ever so often on Twitter, somebody posts a picture and then everybody starts commenting on it. A few months ago, a picture posted of her and people were like, she's not attractive, she's ugly, da da da. And then, like, 2 days ago, a new picture posted of her and everyone's like, she's beautiful, she has the perfect facial features. And I couldn't help but wonder, like, would this have been said if we weren't in this current like climate, political climate?
Because people have just realized black people.
We've been invisible this whole time.
Literally, I'm gonna tell my kids, it wasn't until 2020 that people recognized black people. It's crazy, like we've been black forever. Oh, you guys want to be inclusive. Oh.
No, wow. Why didn't you guys say something?
We should make makeup for your skin tone too.
Oh, isn't that a bright idea?
Black models. Black lives matter.
Oh my gosh, it's so upsetting. It is so upsetting. But I was just like, these, like her saying, because she has very Afrocentric features, like, is that
she
correct?
Does, but she's very like androgynous, like her face, yeah, her features, like it's very, she's like a model, she's, yeah, I think she's very, it's odd in how she looks, but it's like an odd beauty,
yeah, like, and it's a lot of people that like, it's not a common face, if that makes sense, you know.
She doesn't have a common face at all. Yeah. It's very, I always thought she was pretty. I thought her, like, her jawline to me is like,
it's crazy. It is crazy. Her bone structure,
gorgeous.
Yeah,
but she's not like,
she's not
traditional beauty.
Western, you know, yeah, beauty standards not, of pretty.
It's like Carrie Underwood,
right? So it's just like, with everything that's been going on, I feel like the black community is becoming, even as we wake up white people, the black community is also waking up to that, oh, what they told us is pretty, yeah, it looks okay, but we're pretty too, like with our features, with our bone structures, with our full lips, with our wide noses. And it's kind of like, dang, we had to wake up too, like y'all didn't know that. But if you've been told and conditioned for years and years, like, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you've seen that on tele, like, we were, as kids, we watched television a lot. Like, that was our thing. You know, we were not the outside kids, okay?
Yeah.
We weren't technology. We weren't technology kids, but we were, like,
Disney Channel movie on a Friday
Disney
night.
Channel. Yeah. And we were watching Lizzie McGuire. We were watching Even Stevens. We were watching,
Hannah Montana.
We were watching, Camp Rock. Like, we're watching all these shows, and there's always, like, this beautiful, and that's just Disney Channel. They have Nickelodeon, then you get a little bit older, so you start watching MTV, and all those shows, there's this representation of white people, of white beauty. This is what beauty is. And granted, we had Raven, and Raven, I think, is like the queen in our eyes, like, of our times, and like Brandy. Brandy really wasn't ours.
She was like the tail end of ours.
Tail end. Like, we were
tail
young.
End. Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't really understand. I had a Brandy doll, like, a lot.
Me too.
But we
Me
had we had her, but it was really like Raven, and then we had like the Proud family.
Yeah.
And I think after, like, we, I know my sisters were watching like True Jackson with Keke Palmer. She's like our time, but like a little later. Like, we were there. No, because she was in that movie with Corbin Blue.
Jump? Yeah.
Jumping, girl. I remember Corbin Blue.
Oh my gosh! Don't get her started on Corbin Blue.
Yeah. But we have. I can count on one hand how many movies there were with just black people, and where I could see like braids. Like, do you understand how important braids were to me? Like, I used to hate getting braids. My mom did not feel like doing my hair. She had three kids, and I understand. So she kept me in some, like, kinky twists and stuff like that. And I used to think it was so ugly because I was like, well, they don't have it. Like, the kids at school don't have it. The people at church don't have it. And then, like, I think in that movie, Keke Palmer wore braids.
Braids,
like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, like, that's normal. Like, we didn't have a lot of that. So when you're, like, looking at what beauty is and it doesn't look like us all the time. And I think now people are doing a better job. We have more representation. We could have more. We could still have a lot more. But we have a lot of representation now. So I think that's like a start. I think that's part of it. Like, you have, it's not just like you have three people. Like, I don't, I can't be like Monica, Brandy, and Aaliyah. Like, that's basically what we're working with. You can say like, oh, we have Chloe and Halle. They have dreads. We have Sky Jackson. She's natural. We have Marseille. She has glasses and still cute. And I like how people came from Marseille during the BC
Awards. Oh, my gosh. Why can't they give her a break? But, okay,
and
I'm
that's
sorry.
Why she came back and saw real rich.
But she pulled the 100 down. I said, yes, please.
Real rich girl. Moving on.
Moving on. Let me see. I forgot what we were even talking about before then.
We're talking about kids. I think it originated from kids. I had that straw. Shakira, do you have any more of those? Because you told me not to buy it because you're like, oh, I'm going to give Zebra Christmas.
I forgot. Okay, yeah, I have to send you one. I actually made new ones, y'all, if you have not gotten your Carefree and Black Diaries mug. They're available in the description. But I made a new one. A new collection called the Baby Blues. So, but I'll send you this one because the other one is like a light blue and it just says Carefree on it.
Okay.
I'll send you this one though. I'll send you both.
I'm gonna send you money for it. Support black business. Tell your friends even if they say no.
No, this is my gift to you for always being a friend of the show and supporter of the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're off topic.
Yeah, we definitely are. We were talking about like unlearning different things from childhood, but I felt like that was still entertaining.
You told me we were going to talk about like what we're going to do for our children. I feel like we haven't really explained that.
Like what we're going to do differently. I think that with mine, I'm definitely going to be more aware of the things that I say to them and how things that I say can affect their entire life, because I feel like growing up I heard a lot of different things, not just from like my parents but like other people. Mind you, I hate to even say this, but I have rarely seen like relationships that work or like relationships that weren't dysfunctional. So So that's major to me, like, with having kids. Like, I don't want them to grow up in an environment where they feel like dysfunction is normal, because it's not. So I want to work on that, because that's something I'm unlearning too. Like, I always felt like you're supposed to argue. If you didn't argue, then don't love you. They don't love me if we're not arguing.
What?
So I'm unlearning that still. And I want to work on that. I want to work on things that I say. I want to work on what you said earlier, which was enforcing, like, their beauty and how they look. Because, yeah, like you said, like, my parents told me, well, my mom, well, both of them, but mostly my mom, like, you're beautiful, you're so pretty, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't hear that enough to combat the things that I was being told at school. So it was like, things that I was being told at school was outweighing what she was saying to me.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, like, I noticed that with my middle sister, because she's more of my dad's complexion, my parents more so, like, used to tell her a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, your skin is beautiful. And then with us, they didn't really tell us because, I mean, you know, colorism is a thing. So,
yeah.
But, like, so I always think about, like, if I have a child one day and she's like, your skin complexion, like, what would you advise, like, people, period, I guess, of any color, but especially, like, people who can't really experience what you went through, like, what would you have want to hurt? Like, if I was your mom,
okay,
what would you want me to say to you to, like, really validate your beauty? Because it's kind of, I always feel like if I have a child who is of a dark complexion, I'm just like, baby, you're beautiful. They're gonna be like, mom.
Yeah.
Definitely. You don't understand.
Definitely.
Like, you don't understand what, you know, I go through, and I'm gonna be like, I mean, I understand racism.
It's different. Yeah. That's true, because growing up, there was a documentary on a few weeks ago. It was called Dark Girls 2. If y'all have not seen it, please watch it. Did you watch it?
Please don't watch Light Girls, though.
There was a Light Girls?
There was a Light. It was so bad. And I was like, you know, that's really cool that she's being all-inclusive. So Dark Girls, y'all know the original one. Dark Girls is like how women had to go through all this stuff as dark-skinned, like, dark-skinned women and, like, all their trials and stuff. Cool. Whatever. Like, not cool, whatever. I'm saying, like, it was a good documentary. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow it off like that. Light Girls comes on, right? And they have all these light-skinned women. And everyone's saying the same thing, like, oh, like, the girls at school didn't like me because I was so pretty, and they always said my hair was pretty, and people favored me, and it was just so hard. I was just like,
different.
It's different, and I understand what they were saying, because, like, I remember, I'm not really not that light-skinned. Like, I'm just lighter than some people, but I'm really, I don't consider myself light-skinned. But I remember, like, there would be girls who didn't like me, and they'd be like, because you think, and it was also combated with, like, the fact that, I don't know, how I talk or whatever, and that I didn't know Candy Lady. And they'll always be like, oh, you think you white? Oh, you think you better than us? I used to be like, no, I actually don't want to hang out with y'all. And they'd be like, no, because you think you're better. And it happened, but it wasn't as detrimental as, like, when I saw people call one of my best friends, like, Ethiopia, because she was dark-skinned and skinny, which they were dumb, because that's not even what they meant to say. They're stupid kids.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw how much that hurt her. And them saying that to me, that I thought I was better than, I was like,
yeah,
whatever. So, yeah, don't ever watch Light Girls, please.
I didn't, I didn't know that was, like, a thing.
It premiered maybe, like, a couple months after Dark Girls.
Wow.
It was so bad.
I'm almost tempted to watch it.
Because you're going to have, like, an attitude with me. Because you're going to be like, are you one of them? Like, like, y'all are there. It was really bad. Like, if you like it, I'm sorry. I think it was terrible. As someone who was, like, in that spectrum, I think it was terrible. And a terrible representation. It shouldn't have even been made.
Yeah.
Because it just shouldn't have been made. I don't know how to describe it. But yeah, go ahead. It's not.
When it came out, I was tweeting and I was like, I'm so thankful, because me and my mom watched it together. And I was like, I'm so thankful for it, because I had never been able to like put in words how I felt about different situations. And it was crazy because so many of their stories like resonated with me to the point that I was like, dang, yeah, that had happened to me in fifth grade. That happened to me in middle school. That happened to me in high school, like specifically happened to me. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would tell my mom about different things, she would be like, but you're beautiful. And I'm like, okay, but that, like, that doesn't make me feel good. Like, that doesn't make me feel better after I just went through a whole school day of being called black as night. And if we cut the lights on off in here, we wouldn't be able to see you. Mind you, I'm being called this by guys who are my complexion or darker. And it's like, but we're the same complexion. Like, so if you cut the lights off.
Self-hate. You're being a little stupid. Self-hate.
So I think, like, if you have darker complexion children, not just telling them things that are going to coddle them or make them, what you think will make them feel good in the moment, like just saying, oh, but you're beautiful. Don't worry about what they say. Like, you can't say things like that, because then it makes the child feel like, okay, I can't talk to you. And I always felt like my mom just doesn't get it. Like, she's never been my complexion. She's never been called things that I've been called. So she just doesn't get it. So it got to a point where I wouldn't even talk to her about different things that I dealt with my complexion, because I just knew she wasn't going to understand. So first of all, you can send them to me.
Absolutely.
If you feel like Shakira, they're dealing with some things at school. That,
like, and I think that's great. Like, because so many times, like, people will be like, dark skin girls are beautiful. Look at Gabrielle Union, or look at
and they say the same ones.
The same. It's like Gabrielle Union. Who else do they say?
It's always Gabrielle.
It's always Gabrielle, and Gabrielle is like brown.
Yeah,
like she's not. I wouldn't even consider her really like dark skin. They'll say Gabrielle. They'll say like Angela Bassett. They'll say
who else? Oh my gosh.
I'm going to
the top three.
It's three. It's like three that they'll always say.
Oh my gosh. Who is that third person? Why is Gabrielle? Is Angela? I can't remember who the third
Taraji?
Person is.
I don't think it's Taraji.
No, not Taraji.
Yeah, it's gonna make me mad. Oh, Kelly Rowland.
Her and Kelly. And it's like, okay, but who else? Like
they're rich.
Like, who else?
But just look at this person, look at that person. But then at the same time, if you look at Gabrielle always used to be with, like, in movies with Regina Hall, yep, or Sanaa Lathan. Beyonce is always going to be coupled with Kelly. Like, it's just, I want my child to have like this view of themselves that, like, you're beautiful. And I don't want to point out your skin, but I know that that's going to be the target is your skin. So it's like, I am just going to send them to you.
Yeah, send them to me. And also, you know, like, have them in an environment where
they see other
people. Get some reinforcement. Like, my mom, you remember like the black Barbie when we were growing up? Like,
girl, that's all I had.
She had the comforter set, like, with the dark skin Barbie and canopy. And the canopy.
I had the big life-size All I had was the Brandy dolls and black dolls.
Yep.
If I ever point out to a white doll, she'd be like, you look like that?
When Bratz came out, it was Sasha.
Definitely Sasha.
I might have had one. Is it Yasmin? I had like one Yasmin, but other than that, it was like dark skin Barbies, dark skin pictures in my room, like dark skin paintings. But
black Cinderella.
Yep.
The witch is the black one. I ain't never seen a white Cinderella in my life.
I was gonna say, I don't think I've ever even seen the white Cinderella.
I've really never seen a lot of white. What's it called? Disney movies at all.
I thought I was going to be able to show you something that was going to blow your mind, but it's in the garage. I still have my VHS, my Cinderella VHS. I still have it. Let me show y'all something. It's gonna blow your mind. Is this a dinosaur or what?
What is that?
That's Aladdin. The VHS. In the
three? Mm-hmm. Which Aladdin VHS. Is that? Oh, you just wanted to be shocked at the VHS.
Yes.
No, I'm really shocked that you have that. Yeah. Well, I'm not really shocked that you have that.
Anybody else? Yeah.
Anybody else, I'll probably be like, ugh. But you, Shakira has a painting in her house.
You can tell him. You can tell him.
Wait, is it the Lord's Supper?
Yes. Wait. It's two. There's that one. It's the one with the horses.
And it has like Martin Luther King and like
who else? It was like Martin Luther King, Sojourner Truth, Tupac, Barack and Michelle are on one horse.
Tupac, wait. Martin Luther King, Sojourner Truth, and Tupac. Just sit on that for a second.
Malcolm X. Bob Marley is on there. My job. I never thought this was weird until Jazz was like, is that?
It's the horses, but it's really the Lord's Supper that does it for me. Like, y'all didn't reimagine this whole cast.
Nothing but black.
As black historical figures. Like, it's beautiful. I want one. Like, I don't know where to find it.
And it's been in my house forever. I guess that's why I never was like, that's kind of odd.
Just imagine, but it's a picture of a bunch of people on horses. They're like riding this way. Tupac and Martin Luther King. Like, when were they together? Like, when did they?
And Barack and Michelle.
And Barack and Michelle. Because what is the best figure without Barack and Michelle? Beautiful. I'm going to get another one and I'm going to have them add me in it. So I'm lying along with them. We going to be on the sides.
Like this.
And then my kids going to be in the front on the dumpster.
Bro. I'm done.
I'm going to ask you. I'm like, Ma, one day when you get to get up, but you're going to have it, please.
I'm sure you can find them at like, I actually asked her what she got that from, and she was like, she had got it at a FAMU game. Like, you know how they have the vendors?
That makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Like, where else would you find something
so black? Where else? But okay, so just send them to you, but just have them in environments that provide where,
yeah.
I think that's just like one of my biggest fear is like not being able to relate to my child. Like, I was watching Mary Erica Campbell. She had a show, and her daughter is like her dad's complexion.
Okay.
And she's like thicker, and she was telling her mom like, you just don't understand. Like, nobody in your family understands. Y'all are all light skinned and skinny. And I was like, God dang it! What if like, I have a child who's totally different to me, and I'm sitting there trying to validate their beauty, and they're just like, you don't get it. Like, I think it was easier for me to hear from my mom because I almost look identical to my mom, except she's just short. But like, if my child looks totally different than me, like, I have a bunch of anxieties about my kids, but that's definitely one of them.
I get it. Just send them my way. And parenting is trial and error. You learn as you go. So
if I send them to you much, they're gonna like you more. Oh
no, they aren't. No, they are not.
They're not your house. And you can cook and I can't. Oh my God. And I can't do hair.
Okay, you gotta come up to speed with something. You gotta be able to do at least one.
Oh gosh, they're not gonna be able to eat their hair, go look a mess. They're gonna have a weave at four.
Oh gosh. All right, just send them over here. I'm gonna give them therapy, feed them, and do their hair before I send them home.
They're gonna be like, can I just stay with her, please? I get it, yeah. Just go over there. So she wants to adopt anyway. She gets
Like, Jazz, let me adopt your kids.
God, that is not, okay.
It's going to be all good, though. I'm not worried.
For you, I wouldn't be worried for you either. I'm worried for you.
I'm not worried for you.
I think you should be.
No.
I think you should be.
I'm not worried at all. You're going to be a great parent. And just how we're having these conversations now, like, then we'll be having conversations.
Imagine us, like, in the thick of it. Like, this
little nigga just turned 13 and don't know how to act. I don't know what to do.
She sounds just like me. I don't know what to do. I'm going to kill her.
I'm like, just calm down. We're going
to swap. Go to her house. Because I can't deal with you.
I have a headache, Jazz. They're coming over right now.
Okay. Don't bring them over here with all this stuff. We're just gonna leave with our husbands, and we're gonna have, so as mothers, another thing that we're gonna exercise is like self-care. And not just like, oh, I'm gonna go to the mall. You know, like, I don't know about you, but my mom used like every Sunday morning, or not Sunday morning, every Saturday morning.
Saturday
used to get her hair done. Every Saturday morning. Like, we would wake up and I'd be like, dang, my dad gotta cook breakfast for us. Where's mom? Like, you know where your mom is, like, every Saturday morning. And I, you know, that was good for her. That was good.
You need like a window.
We're taking trips, okay? Yeah. We're not just going. We're gonna get our hair done on Saturday too, but we're taking trips, okay?
One weekend out of every month.
Look, hey, here. So I'm booking it. We're going to Bali or the Maldives. Which one? Maldives. Which one?
Bali.
Okay. All right. Cool. You going where?
Be back on Sunday.
I'll be back on Sunday. Don't
pick me up from the airport.
Don't call me unless it's an emergency. Don't even worry about picking me up. I'll take an Uber, okay? Just make sure my kids don't die. I think that's very important. Like,
it is.
Because I think at a point my mom stopped doing that. And I think that's when she lost her mind. Like, when you, like, don't have the time to, like, really care for yourself. Mm-hmm.
You're only taking care of these other human beings.
Like, you're, oh my gosh, I'm so scared of that. Like, that's becoming your whole being.
Identity.
Like, I am so-and-so's wife and I am so-and-so's mother. Like,
granted, I never want to get there.
I want that to be a part of my life.
But that's not my soul.
That's not, I wasn't here to bore children.
Right.
And feed my husband and that just be it. That's a part of who I want to be. Let me not, because, you know, God be listening. That I want that.
Like, oh, you said but what?
I want that. Listen, I want to be somebody's wife and mother, but I don't want that to be my soul being.
Yeah.
Like, I want to still be like, oh, I like to do this. You know, like, how you ask mothers sometimes, like, what do you like to do? Take the kids to, no, baby.
What do you do?
Oh, you know, sometimes me and my husband, oh, there you go again. What do you
do? Like, who are you outside of that?
It's probably hard. Like, I'm sure it's going to take time. It's going to take us time to, like, get into that. Because especially when you first have kids, like, you're going to be in that mode of, like, I'm a mother. But we'll have each other to be like, listen, your hair doesn't look good. So I feel like,
You should get your hair done.
Take
some time, like, to yourself.
Yeah, give the baby to him. Baby. Your nails look really bad, and I hate your eyebrows. What you gonna do? Just get you back in line, and you can do the same for me.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's important. I think if you do that, then you're ultimately setting up a bet. That's another way of, like, being a better parent. Like, if I'm treating myself well and I'm not driving myself crazy all the time, then I'm not gonna come home like a raging
bull all the time,
like, every day, like,
oh, upset.
Bring this up, pick this up.
And now the kids are like, why is she always mad?
Yeah, why is she so mad? Like, what do we do to you?
Yeah,
you can't do nothing. I just had a bad day at work. And like, no, and that's what, like, we have to do with parents.
Everything
we can't put, like, kids are easy targets
because they're vulnerable, such,
they're vulnerable, and they're like,
they're there.
You, like, just be like, and when
it's,
you're
not
mad,
like, they can leave.
Yeah, like, and you're there, like, they're dependent upon you.
Yeah,
like, if you're mad or, like, you feel some type of way, like, it's always going to fall on them. And I started thinking, like, okay, in a perfect world, not even a perfect world, I think that God loves me enough to give me a husband that's going to stay around forever, right? But let's say that circumstances happen and he doesn't, and there's something negative that happens. I have to learn that, like, I can't put my issues, my personal issues, like, I can't let them have an effect on my child. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens a lot. A lot of us are like kids of divorces or kids of parents who were never married and never got along. And that ultimately like played a role in us. Like me, I haven't seen my parents talk to each other since I was like in the sixth grade, like actually talk like, Hey, never, probably never happened, but that now it doesn't really bother me because it's like whatever. But as a kid, when you have like recitals and you have all this stuff, and one parent is here and the other one's over there, and you're like, what the freak?
Where do I go?
Yeah, like, where do I go?
Yeah,
like, things like that. Like, you just have to be more cognizant of people, like of our children, and how that takes like precedence in our life, because, like you said, you've never seen a healthy relationship, not even. Because healthy doesn't mean that you're together. Like, yeah, that doesn't always equal healthy. Healthy can be like, we're two people who cannot be together and we're co-parenting and we're showing our child like what love and respect is towards another person. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us didn't get that. Like, we got the tail end of it. So just like, I don't know. I think it starts from the top. It starts from picking the right partner.
Definitely.
It starts with picking the right partner. It starts with picking for the right husband or wife. Husband or wife.
Recognizing the red flags.
Recognizing the right, picking the right husband or wife, not out of
desperation.
Desperation. Because you just have to get married. But out of who's right for you, who was sent for you, who God has for you. It starts there. Like, yeah, if you start the healthiness, if you start from a dysfunctional place, it's just gonna turn dysfunctional. Like, and a baby doesn't make anything easier. Stop bringing babies in the world thinking like, oh, this will bring us closer together. When has a baby ever brought some? Ho, point them out.
Show me one. Show me one. I have not seen one.
Send it to my DM right now. Show me where I've heard two people who were not in a good relationship had a baby. Perfect example. Just a perfect example. I don't know how many of you guys watch Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, but Princess and Ray J, right? At no point through the whole matriculation of their relationship were they ever healthy. They were never in a good place. They were constantly cheating. They were constantly breaking up with each other. They were constantly fighting. He pushed her in a pool. And we all saw it. He told her, it's still airing on television. He told her to go beat someone up, and she did it like a dog. He said,
disgusting.
Go.
Disgusting.
And she married him. Married him. Had a beautiful wedding. The wedding was beautiful. Gorgeous wedding. That's what you guys are looking for? Have a party? Had a beautiful wedding. Had two gorgeous kids. They have the cutest kids. And now they're getting divorced. What was the reason?
It's like we saw it coming.
Like, everyone saw it coming, but people think that you can, like, oh, you know, he's done stuff in his past, you know, it's whatever.
It's gonna get better.
We're gonna get married, because when men get married, right, everything changes. I want to know what book says that.
None. I actually was like cleaning out something, like some old calendars, and I used to write like sticky notes in them, and I found a note from Jada Pinkett Smith. I think it was like an old interview of hers, and she was like, marriage is not like this utopia that people think it is. She was like, marriage holds up a mirror to all of your imperfections, all of the imperfections in your relationship, and if you are not ready for that, it's not gonna work out.
It's not gonna work. And you can tell. You can tell when the red flags are there. We just overlook them. And what we're not understanding is by overlooking them, like, ultimately we're setting up a really terrible future for, like, our children.
Definitely.
Like, if you're in dysfunction now, you're going to be in dysfunction later. Then you're going to have kids and bring those kids into dysfunction. And then your kids are going to be forced to either learn from that and like reteach themselves, or they're gonna fall in the same trap. I read something, it was like the goal is to like have a family for your children that they don't have to heal from.
Oh, the real goal.
Because in all honesty, like, why do you have to heal from your family? Like, why are we healing from our family? Like,
whose idea was this?
The idea, like, when I think of how God thought of a family, it was peace. It yes. was, there was healing within the family. You shouldn't have to go out. I think that's where that originated from. People were like, just keep it in the house. I was like, oh no, that's not where it originated from. Originated from stupid people not wanting to have problems. But I think that you should be able to heal within your, if you have an issue within this family, like, let's talk about it. But like, parents don't want to talk about stuff. Like,
they feel like if you don't, especially Black parents, if you don't talk about it, then it's just going to go away. Like, okay, we didn't talk about it. It's over. Like,
I still remember. And we're so quick to like discipline in so many ways. Like, I'm not saying I'm against whooping. Like, I don't, I think whooping helps. I needed a whooping. I'm not going to whoop anyone because I'm not coordinated. And if you move, like, I'm hit myself. But I think that there are a lot of cases, like, I was talking to my dad. So when I was like 13, I was with a group of my friends and they were flashing people. And I didn't really, we were flashing people on the side of the road. Now, my brain, Shakira, stop making that face because okay, my brain,
it didn't
make the wire connection. It didn't make the connection of like, this is bad. But it gets worse. I was flashing people in my friend's house.
You were too?
Let me finish my story.
Okay, sorry.
The place that we were flashing people was about a mile down from my church. So I was a very impressionable child. Like, I'm not afraid to say I was not the leader. I was the follower. Absolutely. Because you have to look cool. Like, everyone else is flashing people. They look at you and they be like, what am I say? No. So I did it because flashing was just like this. So it didn't seem like a big deal. So I just went like this. And it was like a good, so someone from my church saw me. They called my mom. Mom called my dad. Snitch. And basically my dad like whooped me for it. So I was talking to him. I was like, Dad, you really could have just talked to me about that. He was like, what was there to talk about? You lied. I was like, yeah, I told you I didn't do it because I'm 13. Like, I knew I was gonna get in trouble for it. I was like, why you didn't talk to me and be like, why would you do something like that? And I could have easily been like, Dad, like, in these group of people, I just feel like I don't fit in and I want to fit in and you just don't understand. Like, I just feel like there were so many things I feel like we could have talked about. You didn't have
conversations to be had about that situation.
Like, and I'm not saying he's wrong for whooping me. Like, I didn't do it again, but like, I feel like there's conversations that we can have sometimes. Like,
there's alternate ways to have a situation.
Like, if there are certain things where you need to like instill the fear of God in your children, like, understood, you know, if your child is stealing and they have everything in the room, like, come here, you gonna get a whooping. We don't talk about it, but you gonna get a whooping because you gotta know not to do this again. But like, I feel like if I'm that age, if I have a daughter especially who does something that I feel like is impressionable upon other people, sorry, my phone's about to die, then I'm gonna have a talk with her. Like, why would you do that? Like, what made you do that? And then have that conversation versus like,
we're just gonna whoop you. And you learn a lesson.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about it ever again. Like, don't ever do it again. Like, okay, yeah. That didn't happen.
I feel like a lot of times Black households, like, whooping is the easy way out. Like, okay, because after I whoop you, you're gonna know not to do it. But like, okay, but we didn't talk about this. Like, so yeah, you whoop me, but what else? Like,
and don't talk to me while you whooping me because I'm not listening.
I'm not, like, you're hurting me. You're ouch. Hurting me. Like,
I'm not. You think I'm listening to you?
I don't care about nothing you're saying right now.
Can't even hear you because I'm screaming so loud. I'm drowning you out.
So we just have to think of like alternate ways to discipline children, like a healthy way to discipline children. Because it's just easy to like I'm gonna give you a whooping. Because there's so many of my classmates got whoopings and they were still terrible.
Whooping is not like it. Like, yeah, you know, people be like, well, my mom used to hit me with the cord and the hanger. You were abused, and I'm sorry.
You got abused.
But I'm not saying that's like the best route to go. Like, yeah. I think that you should have at a certain age, you have to be able to talk to your children. Mm-hmm. Be like, what's going on with you? Because kids don't just do the things I got whooped for. I didn't just do them because I felt like doing them. I wasn't just bored and I was like, you know what? Right. What do this? There was a reason behind it and I needed some type of guidance. And I think as a parent, sometimes we forget, like, or as a parent, I'm not a parent. As parents, sometimes they forget, like.
Is something you're trying to tell me, Jazz? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm Mary reincarnated. But I just feel like you just have to like be able to talk. I think that's something I'm really gonna implement in my children. Hopefully I don't like talk to them where they're like, shut them up, please. But I'm gonna always talk to my kids, like always. And they're gonna get sick of me. Like
if you have a conversation, then where it's like a dialogue and not just like a one-way street. No. Where you're just like
I want to talk, like, how was your day, what's going on?
Yeah,
like I'm just gonna come in their room and lay on their bed and just be like, what are you doing? So they're probably gonna find me annoying at some point, but at least they'll know, like, if there's something I need to talk about, I can talk to my mom. There's never like a thing of like. And then also, you know what else I learned? Sorry. I think that, like, as a parent, sometimes when we think of our parents, we think of them as being perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what makes them more, like, it's hard to talk to them. And, like, knowing that, like, I want to be able to share with my child, like, I messed up. This is where I messed up. Because I feel like when I learned stuff about my parents where they messed up, it made them seem more, like, relatable. Like, I can
human talk to
you. Yeah, like, you're not just like, oh, my mom, like, so perfect. It's like, oh, you did stuff that was not perfect all the time too. But as parents, I think they're afraid to tell us that because they think we're going to judge them or that we're going to do it, when it's like, no, I just want to know that, like, not being perfect all the time is okay. Like, not being like this supreme amazing child is not okay. Like, you made mistakes too, or you did this in relationships too, or you did this with, you know, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think parents are afraid to share that too. So that would be something else that I would want to implement with my children. Like, listen, now granted, I didn't do a lot, but, you know, I got drunk once.
Once?
It's terrible.
In college.
At like 25, 23. We all do it. She's like, mom, loser. But I think that was something else I was thinking of too when I was thinking about the subject. Just like when I learn more stuff about my mom, I'm like, girl.
Okay.
Okay.
You're like, different than I thought.
You just wasn't around here being a living angel of God. You was on here doing stuff. Okay.
I agree. I think that's something that, again, with the next generation, that you have to be, like, more open with the lines of communication and telling them, like, you can't, what they say, nothing slick to a can of oil. Like, there's nothing under the sun that you can do that I probably either haven't done or haven't had a friend do or something, you know? Because a lot of times they feel like, I can't talk to them about this because they're not going to understand, or they've never been in this position. But baby, yes. Before I had you.
Your mama was out here. Mom, no, you aren't. You're right. I wasn't.
I think that this was great, though. So is there anything you want to leave with the people when it comes to unlearning childhood trauma, different things that they've dealt with growing up that they are becoming more aware of now?
Just continue to do that. Continue to unlearn it. If you can't do it on your own, go to therapy.
Definitely.
Therapy helps. or if you have a friend that you feel like you can talk to. Sometimes when I talk to like Shakira or my other friends, I feel like it's therapeutic and I feel like I'm able to relate. Like, it's good to have a friend who you feel like is going through the same thing as you, because it's like, oh, it's not just me. Like, yeah, this happens all to other people. Of course, always pray. Like, that's, you know, very important. But faith without works is dead. So don't, you know, read your Bible, go to church. But if you need to seek help, seek help. If you need to talk to your parents, try to talk to your parents. If you don't have the type of parent, if you don't have the type of parents that can talk, don't let that get to you. Don't let that, like, eat at you. Know that you did what you could and walk away and heal by yourself. Like, and there's a way to do that. Like, you can heal without getting closure from the situation on the other end. Mm-hmm. Because that's something I had to deal with. Like, talking to someone and them not fully understanding my point and not wanting to see my point, just being like, okay, whatever. Like, I know where I stand and I forgive you. Forgiveness is like a huge thing. And I know, like, in these times, like, people are like, ah, Black people are so easy to forgive. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to forgive and to move on, because forgiveness simply means that I'm not holding this with me every step I go. Like, every step in my life, I'm not going to hold this hate, this anger, this burden. I'm not going to hold this heavy weight on me, this heavy load on me. I'm letting it go. Mm-hmm. So learn to forgive people, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. It's even if they're your parents, because your parents probably are never going to ask for forgiveness. Yeah, continue being carefree. Continue being Black.
Yes.
Yes. And continue calling for justice for Breonna Taylor.
Definitely. Justice for Breonna Taylor. Ridiculous that we even still have to say that. But here we are. Still having to say it.
It's ridiculous.
Infuriating. It's infuriating. Yeah. But I am so happy that you guys tuned in. Hopefully this whole visual aspect adds another layer to the podcast, because you all are always like listening, but you never get to see anything. So hopefully, you know, if you like the Zoom kind of situation, the visual aspect, let us know in the comments and we'll figure something out with this. It's not going to be an every podcast kind of thing. It's just guess. Just guess. So thank you, Jazz, for everything. And guys, don't forget to stay Black and stay carefree. And we will see you guys in the next episode of The Carefree and Black Diaries. Bye.
Bye.